It's The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. The coronavirus vaccine rollout has been a whirlwind of complications, from figuring out what phase you're in to the struggle of scheduling an appointment online. The Pennsylvania Department of Health website can be maybe difficult to navigate for even some of the most tech-savvy among us. Karen Kornblum is a designer and associate teaching professor at Carnegie Mellon University. Karen, welcome to The Confluence.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I just Googled how to get a vaccine in Pennsylvania. I'm on the State Health Department's COVID site right now. From there, it's not all that clear what the next steps are, especially when scheduling or trying to schedule, try to find a provider. What about this site do you think could be improved?
I often tell my students, you know, no amount of good design can make bad content usable. And when I look at this website, it's quite attractive. It's colorful. The problems in this website is that it's not meeting the needs of the people who are going here. So the question to me is what are their needs? And I think you hit the nail on the head. The number one need for, I imagine, most people going to this site is to schedule a vaccine, period. The path on this site of getting even to the screen that begins to tell you how to schedule it, that is a long and winding path that doesn't have to be there.
You go on, you see an image of the Commonwealth, and then you see dots all over the Commonwealth supposed to be providers of the vaccine. Now, originally, there were red and green to indicate whether or not a facility in your county or in your region had vaccines available. Now they're all blue, and it's still difficult to find out whether they actually have the vaccine and are scheduling appointments. Was this sort of a backslide in design? What?
You know, all we can do as web designers is teach fundamental principles of good design. Principle number one is represent your content truthfully. So somebody here at least was saying it's misleading to have red and green. There's another principle of good design, which is the magic number 7. And this comes from cognitive psychology. Human-computer interaction is the confluence, I love using that word on this show, it's very meta, of computer science, design, and then human behavior, human psychology. And the magic number 7 simply means that people at any given time can kind of manage 7 items of information in their head, plus or minus 2. If you get much bigger than that, there just simply isn't the capacity to store that. So when I'm looking at this map with dozens and dozens of blue dots all over it, we need a way of chunking these so that the first screen you would go to would be a way to identify and target your area. And then you could get in closer to your county. You'd have fewer dots within that, maybe sub-regions within the county, like neighborhoods or something like that.
Karen, some health executives have advocated for a one-stop shop, a centralized system to schedule appointments, but Acting Health Secretary Alison Beam says that's not going to happen. It would present significant technical hurdles. Do you think a centralized portal, if done correctly, would be more effective than what we have now?
I think getting the infrastructure in place for that portal would delay the distribution of the vaccines, because getting that infrastructure in place is quite a bit more complicated than you might think. It would mean that all of these pharmacies and healthcare providers and, you know, franchises like Rite Aid or even Giant Eagle is offering vaccines, they would all need to be using the same language and using the same information paths to be speaking back and forth. And that can't happen overnight. Ideally, that would have been happening during the last year,
a lot of people who are trying to schedule appointments, maybe they don't use computers every single day. They might not be all that savvy. Is there a way to make it a little more friendly, a little more easily accessible for folks?
People do not go to websites to consume information. They go to perform actions. Eventually, on this website that I'm looking at, after scrolling, zooming in, clicking on one of the blue dots, and then clicking on the website for the blue dot, then I'm finally at the Rite Aid within 2 miles of my house. That journey from homepage to Rite Aid 2 blocks from my house could be shortened immediately. It could be at the very top of the homepage. Do you qualify for phase one? Where are you in Pennsylvania? Here are your choices. If you get to that Rite Aid and they say we're out of the vaccine, which seems to be more of a problem in, you know, distribution and politics and bureaucracy and Lord only knows what, at least you've gotten that information immediately. You know, it's in real time. Mm-hmm. But that you can't ask a website to do that. You have to ask the organizations on the other side of the screen to agree to it, to set up their computers that way, to speak the same language.
Karen, finally, have you seen an online system that's working in another city, another state, that Pennsylvania could adopt, or is it really too late to adopt it because we don't want to actually slow the distribution of the vaccine? We want to get people signed up as quickly as possible if the vaccine's available.
I have not, but the website has a look of finish and simplicity and this sort of bright colors and a lot of white space, but they're over-promising for something that they can't deliver because of these more complicated problems. Perhaps, you know, in a very, very radical way, if, you know, the homepage could be redesigned to just immediately give you those lists of the places where the vaccine is being distributed, you know, as quickly as possible, and then let the users kind of jump off of this page and into the local sites.
Karen Kornblum is a designer and associate teaching professor at Carnegie Mellon University. Karen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. When the state expanded Phase 1A of its COVID-19 vaccination plan last month, the number of Pennsylvanians who became eligible swelled. Many new Phase 1A members are people over the age of 65. 90.5 WESA's Kylie Kaczynski reports, since most all vaccine appointments are booked online, many of the state's elderly have been left in the dust.
Right now, getting a vaccine appointment can feel impossible. Time slots close as soon as they open up online, and navigating a menagerie of separate websites with different forms can make your head spin. It's difficult for young people deeply familiar with computers. That doesn't bode well for those elderly who might use the computer, but not for medical paperwork.
They use it to talk to their grandchildren, you know, through FaceTime or, you know, something else, or they go on to play games, and that's it. You know, they don't really use it for anything more sophisticated than that.
That's Bill Johnston Walsh, the state director of AARP Pennsylvania. A recent AARP poll found that nearly 80% of the members surveyed want to get a vaccine as soon as possible. The group recently penned a letter to Governor Tom Wolf urging the state to create better resources for the elderly who might not have a computer or be able to use it well enough to get an appointment online. The state says its 877-PA-HELP phone line can help the elderly get vaccines.
I called that number.
That's 67-year-old Jack Langdon. He says the helpline is less than helpful.
Thank you for calling the Pennsylvania Department of Health.
If your call is regarding COVID vaccines, we encourage you to visit our website at health.pa.gov.
And I thought, well, I'm calling you because I'm having problems with the website.
After dialing through the menu options, Jack learned there were more than 100 callers ahead of him in line.
I hung up. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
An operator says while they can help callers navigate the state's website, they can't actually book appointments for callers themselves. So where does that leave people unable to use the internet? Last week, Allegheny County started booking appointments by phone for its Monroeville clinic. Officials said its 211 line got 15,000 calls per second once they began booking appointments. In 4 hours, all time slots were filled, and the line had reportedly been hacked. The county says scammers requested credit card information from callers looking to secure appointments. It's not clear how many calls were intercepted, and the service was designed to help seniors, who are often the target of such scams. Jack tried the county hotline, too. His son Ben said he couldn't get through. Ben has been helping both of his parents search for vaccine appointments. Recently, he started recruiting more friends and family members.
I'm sharing my dad's information with them to see if they can just try it out. That I just figure whatever we can do to keep trying.
Many elderly are relying on their children or grandchildren to help them get appointments. Leanne Bacher helped her 83-year-old grandmother get a shot.
Because I knew my grandma wasn't going to be able to get one on her own unless there was some kind of like sign up in person. But even then, I don't know how she would know about it.
After getting appointments for her grandma, aunt, and other relatives, Leanne and a few other women created a Facebook group to start sharing tips on how to find appointments. In a week, the group grew to more than 8,000 members. Users share links to pharmacies with open slots, answer each other's questions, and it's a space for people to vent their frustrations. Leanne says she and the other page administrators have started helping people trying to get appointments themselves or trying to get their elderly relatives booked.
Last night, I think I got between 12 to 15 appointments for other people.
Appointments will continue to be hard to come by as long as vaccine supply remains limited. State officials and vaccine providers have said for months that inadequate supply is their number one issue. Governor Tom Wolf has estimated that Phase 1A includes 4 million people. That's going to require 8 million shots since both approved COVID-19 vaccines require 2 doses. Acting Secretary of Health Allison Beam says the state is optimistic about how the upcoming Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine could change the landscape of the rollout. It only requires 1 shot, though it's less effective than either the Moderna or Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines. In the meantime, Jack and his son Ben say they'll keep refreshing websites, looking for openings.
There's going to be a time where eventually we're just surprised and had the lucky chance that we scored an appointment.
Kylie Kaczynski, 90.5 WESA News.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA, and reporter Kylie Kaczynski joins us now. Kylie, after hearing your report, I'm thinking that Leanne and her Facebook group will be getting even more members.
Absolutely. Yeah, the membership of this group has just continued to skyrocket. Last I checked, there were 8,000, and I'm sure that will only go up from there. The group's also sort of imagining different purposes for people who join. Leanne told me that she's noticed people comment, you know, they're appreciative that they got help getting an appointment, but they don't have a ride. People talking back and forth in comment threads, trying to set up carpools and things like that.
Kylie, as people, you know, make this mad dash to get whatever appointments are available, once they do lock in an appointment, do they cancel their registration with other providers?
It's not clear to me that members are canceling the appointments, the extra appointments they've booked once they become unneeded. I have seen some members offering appointments they can no longer make to other members of the group.
What happens if there's a no-show? If a facility has no-shows and they have so many doses allotted, do they need to get rid of it? People showing up just in case? What, you know?
So some locations will keep people on a sort of like notice list. Some employees of a vaccine provider, you know, might get a shot that way if they have some spares, because the most important thing is to not let this vaccine go to waste. The Moderna and the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine both are pretty fragile, and once they're out of the freezer, you need to get them into an arm before they expire. So that could look like, you know, a text message, we've got an available appointment in the next hour, can you get here? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. According to the state, there are 4 million people in Phase 1A. So do you find it commonplace that folks in Phase 1A are enlisting family, friends to find appointment slots?
I spoke to about a dozen or so people for this story, and family members of those elderly who either don't own a computer, don't have internet access, or have a computer but use it for simpler things. They're all relying on younger people who might even just type faster than them to get in and get the heavily demanded time slot.
I know of people who are okay with trying to schedule online. and they have internet access, et cetera. But because there are so many websites, it can be time consuming, and they have to try either before they start work or in the evening. It does take a lot of time sometimes.
It does. So some of the elderly I spoke to said that if they weren't retired, this would be even harder for them because, you know, they have the extra time to scour online for appointments. But many people are sort of building these little armies of family members and friends. Everyone is working towards getting one or two people vaccinated, and you have maybe seven people online looking for appointments and sort of collaborating via text message or other communication tool to make sure that everyone knows when grandma got her appointment.
Yeah, but on the other hand, some folks might not have relatives to schedule appointments for them.
That's exactly right, Kevin. I spoke to a woman who did get an appointment for her 80-year-old father at a Rite Aid, and while they were there waiting for his shot, she noticed several elderly people walk into the Rite Aid location asking to get registered, said they didn't have computers, they didn't know how to, you know, access the internet to schedule for an appointment, but they wanted to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And they were turning them away, saying they had to register online. And some suggested that they go to a library across the street to get help from a librarian.
And this was where?
This is in Youngstown, Ohio.
So people were traveling across state lines?
You know, there's no rule in place that someone can't go to Ohio or can't go to even a different county in Pennsylvania to get the vaccine. And so people are starting their search locally looking for an available appointment. But I've talked to some people who found an appointment in Ohio, some people from Pittsburgh who found an appointment in Erie.
You mentioned in your story a desire for a more centralized approach for vaccine distribution, a statewide list, something like that. What other ideas did people that you talked with have to make this rollout better than it is?
Almost everyone I spoke to for this story wishes they could just book in at their primary care physician. You know, many elderly have existing relationships with a primary care doctor, and a lot of them said that was the first place they called when they started looking for an appointment. The difficulty there is both approved vaccines require very sophisticated storage that, you know, a family care doctor might not have at their facility. Right now, AHN is booking people 75 and up for vaccine appointments. UPMC is not. They're focused on healthcare workers and unaffiliated healthcare workers right now, but they did tell me they're testing, they're using Erie, Pennsylvania as a sort of pilot site to vaccinate elderly patients. They're trying different methods of outreach.
WESA reporter Kylie Kaczynski. Thanks so much, Kylie.
Thanks, Kevin.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Isabel Schmaler, Lara Satsui, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.